JG2. Number 4B.
As we know, again, as Max has said over and over again, it takes two qualities to get along in our work. One is to have scientific sense, to culture the letter, and second is spiritual sense, to imbibe the spirit. We often come with a lot of spiritual sense, as he has said, and we come with a lot of emotion to a subject. A religion always comes with emotion, always filled with belief, always filled with inspiration of a subject. But as Mrs. Eddy said, until belief becomes faith and faith becomes spiritually scientific understanding, consciousness has nothing to do with the relationship with the divine. So our subject has two aspects: science on a fixed principle, what is reality, and two, consciousness, how I become one with reality, how I gain the spirit. So now we're being the scientists, aren't we? We're seeing what is reality, how we polish the scientific sense in us so we just don't take the subject on emotion or belief. As Mrs. Eddy said, in principle and practice, which she dictated to Adam Dickey before she left, if this is taken just on belief and faith and not on spiritually scientific understanding, what I have given could be lost. So this necessary that John Dorley was the door that said, what in the world is the science behind Christian Science, in which he started the work towards science. And we know then that Dorley always talked about orders, the orders of the days of creation. It was really Max Kepler's job to define the laws of the days of creation, what the laws were behind the minor prophets. He brought to the subject the term law and has took the courage to call it the law behind the day of creation, the laws behind the minor prophets, the laws behind the epistles, the laws behind the textbook. In Christian Science history, it's the first time laws were ever discussed, was when Max started talking about laws. John Dorley only talked about orders. So, of course, it's on John Dorley's work that Kepler built in orders to give us laws. And so many of the Dorley students, when Max was first bringing out in the late 60s his concepts of law, would always ask, now what does Max mean by laws? It was so foreign to the thinking of Christian Science. Already 20 years or 23 years later, we hope that laws as the basic structure is natural. But what do they mean? What do they do? Well, we now see that they're the method of abstraction that takes the essence out of something. And therefore, we see that they do more with less, and that they are therefore reducing the multitude of phenomena to the basic elements when in an invariable order give us a law, which is then, as I said, is a law of gravity, which is just as Max is showing in the study aid, that law of F equals G M1 point M2 over R2, that really that is showing us a law where we have first that law together covers the multitude of phenomena we see, whether it's an apple falling from a tree or a stone falling from the tower or a spaceship going to the moon. It covers that multitude of phenomenon as seen from the human sciences. And that law reduces that phenomena to its basic elements. That whole phenomena covered by the law of gravity is reduced just to the elements of F, G, M1, M2, R2. And that those are symbols where F, we see, stands for force, G for gravity, M1 for the apple, the stone or the spaceship, you get the variable, M2 for earth, R2 for distance square. So we see then that law defines the invariable relationship of these basic elements. How? Through the equalizing sign, through multiplication, division, and squaring. So what we get in the law of F equals G, M1, M2 over R2 is really an invariable order of elements, which is talking about a tremendous variety of phenomenon. When we talk about the level of science itself, in the realm of mind being its own infinite mind, or spirit being its own infinite spirit, or soul being its own infinite soul, or principle, life, truth, and love being its own infinite principle, life, truth, and love, under the heading of principle being its own infinite principle, that whole law of the level of science itself, the law of infinite being, just under the law of principle being its own infinite principle, is a tremendous abstraction. Just like the law of gravity, F equals G, M1, M2 over R2. So it is the law of the level of science itself, which is just stated, principle being its own infinite principle, is a terrific law shown in its simplicity. And that covers the multitude of phenomenon happening on the science level. And to that law, we want to ask what, as I said, are the variables and what are the invariables. It is set up just as they set up the laws in the world today. It is very much, as Max has presented the structure of being and its laws, he has presented it on a very scientific basis of which all scientists would agree on the way that basis is set up. And he didn't set it up. We'll see that Mrs. Eddy, through Revelation, set up the basis for these laws, of which Max, of course, has just put the flesh to the bones of what we will see she really worked with. So having that, then, we see then that Davies, and I finish his work now that I wanted to talk about on laws with just a few more very, very important points. It's when they begin now to define laws not only as an invariable order of relation of phenomenon that exists in being, but they now begin to define laws according to the qualities of laws. Something just really awe-inspiring. When he goes to define laws, and it's what, of course, we will say over and over together on our work with laws. He says, curiously, the laws have been invested with many of the qualities that were formerly attributed to God, from which they were once supposed to have come. And now he defines laws as the scientists see them today. He says, first and foremost, the laws which are inherent in reality itself are universal. He says, a law that only works sometimes or in one place but not another is no good. The laws are taken to apply unfailingly everywhere in the universe and at all epochs of cosmic history. No exceptions are permitted in this sense, they are also perfect. Isn't that wonderful? So they define laws as we would, that laws have the quality of being universal, that they're everywhere in the universe and that they have been working through all history. And they are perfect. And then second, he says those laws that they see that are inherent in nature are absolute. They do not depend on anything else. In particular, they do not depend on who is observing nature or on the actual state of the world. The physical states are affected by the laws, but not vice versa. So we would say the same thing, that laws are absolute. They're not dependent on anything outside of themselves. We certainly see that the laws of the model of being are a closed system of laws under the one comprehensive law called God. Then third, he says, that the laws that exist in nature are eternal. He says they're timeless and that they have this eternal character of the law is reflected in the mathematical or scientific structure employed to model the physical world. So they see that the quality of laws is that they are eternal, that they exist in a timeless state. Something, of course, we also see in Christian Science, as Mrs. Eddy shows us through Revelation. These scientists are seeing through their work. And then fourth, they say that these laws inherent in nature are omnipotent, meaning that nothing escapes them. They are all power. They are also, in a loose sense, Davy says, omniscient. If we go along with the metaphor of the laws commanding systems, then the systems do not have to inform the laws of their states in order for the laws to legislate the right instruction for that state. This much is generally agreed. This is just incredibly beautiful. First of all, we know that Mrs. Eddy said God is the comprehensive law of the universe, and therefore that God is, she said, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipowerful. Exactly as they're calling laws today. How far are they away from Mrs. Eddy's revelation? When they begin to say, is there a basic of the universe called God? Is there a super level? Can the universe be explained on these laws? And then they proceed to explain laws as absolute, as eternal, as omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniaction. That's how Mrs. Eddy defined it. See, it's a universal science, and she saw that generic man would reveal her successor, which is divine science, and the earth would help the woman. She knew and said that there would come a time when revelation and reason would coincide, showing that our job, if we don't keep up what is going on in the world, can the world pass by the little sect called Christian Science? Or can we show the world that what the Judean Christian heritage has shown through revelation in the Bible and in the textbooks gives us those fundamental spiritual laws of being, which are the backbone behind history, and that principle God has been translating itself to mankind, analyzing and uncovering a physical explanation, a mental explanation, moving them towards a spiritual explanation. Our job is still monumental, it's still big, it has a very necessary spiritual basis to put the world sciences on track. But if we don't do our job, you can see the job's going to get done anyhow. It doesn't need a few Christian Scientists thinking to get the job done. Mrs. Eddy said, nothing is real and eternal but God and its ideas and laws, and these ideas and laws are sweeping down the century. So if we want to be an impact in the world and to show really what has been seen and give the revelators credit who have gone before us in that realm of the Judeo-Christian heritage, then we must embrace what the world is seeing and help them to go further to see that behind this powerful realization is the eternal law of the Christ in its translation and retranslation has brought that realization to the world. Really the whole purpose of the textbook to show then that those principles are principles that are of a fixed principle based on the eternal mind. They still don't know that the divine mind is the only mind that can fathom these laws. They still think it's the human mind, and that's our key still in helping the world. Is yes, they're getting the tonality that these laws are omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and all active, but they still think that the human mind has to be open to revelation to get it. They still haven't made that step from ordinary metaphysics into divine metaphysics, but they're asking the right questions. Many scientists do ask if there's a mind or a super mind behind mind. We've read that, we've seen that in many places. So our job is, as we did last evening, really to show that yes, there is this fixed science, but it can only be grasped through the divine mind, through mind knowing itself, through revelation, through a higher standpoint than the human mind. And so those eight ordered steps to our oneness with being, where we begin to see, we come out of the human mind, we begin to identify with the divine system of reference through the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, till we just are the tonality of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love and consciousness, till finally it's just I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, truth, and love on divine science level, where there's no separation between mind and my mind, that the mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind than the mind which is God. And on the science level, it's just that one infinite mind, infinite being. And Mrs. Eddy said that her revelation of the structure and being and laws came to her when she discovered the laws of life, truth, and love and put them in the textbook, these spiritual laws that we're studying beginning this afternoon. She says, therefore, that she did it on the basis of the divine mind, and she did it when she knew that mind knew itself. And the minute that she knew that the mind which is God was her mind, that the teacher was the divine mind, and the student was the divine mind, and that that mind was always conscious of itself, she said the synonymous terms came very easily. Remember how she says that? Quite good. So these scientists, yes, they're getting these laws defined as being as we would define them too, as omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniactive. And again, this last point then that we bring out with Davies, before we close and see the flaws in the light of the science of Christian science, I'm going to come back to these last few points of how he defines laws later on, just the ones about that they are eternal and absolute and omnipotent and omniscient and perfect. But this is a very important point I'm going to come back to also, is this point that the systems do not have to inform the laws of their states in order for the laws to legislate the right instruction for that state. Therefore, he shows that there's a difference between a law and a state, that a law is fixed in being, but a state changes in time according to its evolution. So we see that that the laws are inherent in being, but a state or a system will change according to its evolution, according to its, I would like to say, according to its nature. We can see that man, as Mrs. Eddy defined it, is different states and stages of consciousness. Our state is such that we ask, is our state going out from a depraved physical standpoint? Therefore, is our state of a moral depravity filled with hate and jealousy and competition and self-justification, the first degree? Or is our state more of the second degree of the moral, of compassion, of cooperation? Or is our state of consciousness more of the third degree of the spiritual, of wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness? Our state evolves. The condition of our nature evolves. And it's and Davies says that the system or the state does not have to inform the laws of their condition. A state doesn't have to say, I am in a physical difficulty. Please heal me. which we, Mrs. Eddy also says in the chapter of prayer. She says we don't have to inform God of our condition like we beseech and pray to a God about our condition. She says God isn't a divine ear to hear our state or condition. She says, why pray before the principle of mathematics? The problem is already solved. That God is a principle, and you don't have to inform the principle of what it already knows. Doesn't she say that right in prayer, one of the big points of the prayer? And so that's exactly what Davies is saying. The system or state doesn't have to inform the law that it has a physical problem or a moral problem or a spiritual problem. It says, the law will legislate the right instruction for that state, regardless, you see. So the law is programmed for success. And that's what we see with these laws of the divine success mechanism, especially on the level of absolute Christian science. The law comes programmed for success. The law of the word at absolute Christian science, of life, truth, and love. And then we'll see the law of the Christ at absolute Christian science, of truth, life, and love. And that law, which comes programmed for success according to the law of the Christ on absolute Christian science, is infinitely individualized and adapted to our specific situation. It meets our need. We don't have to inform the law that we have a need. The law knows the need. The law is intelligent. That's why Mrs. Eddy said that the principle of the universe is mind. It's an intelligent principle. Now, that's always hard for us to realize. Even as Christian scientists and have studied the subject of the universal laws of being now for some of us 23 years and more, still have a hard time realizing we don't have to inform the law of our state. We still say, oh, God, help me. We're pretty well convinced that God doesn't know that our leg hurts or our arm hurts or that there is some universal, collective, or individual belief objectifying itself that could be called terminal or not. And if it looks like the red dragon and it calls it terminal, then we get all frightened about it all. We think, how am I going to tell God that there's this claim against my identity that the universal and false beliefs have put on me? We don't have to inform God. The subject of being and its laws, as we'll see, is that the laws are intelligent. They know the situation. The laws have a Christ. They come to each situation. And because we are those laws, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining those laws, the laws are seeking us. Mind is seeking the mind in us. Spirit is seeking the spirit in us. Soul is seeking the soul in us. Principle is seeking the principle in us. Life, truth, and love is seeking the life, truth, and love in order to make us one in nature and quality with God. So on the law of science itself, it can get about its law of self-similarity, its law of self-restructuring. All being wants to do is make like reproduce like on the science itself level. That's all. And when it doesn't find light, it has to come through the laws of divine science to absolute Christian science, seek out what isn't responding, make it like itself so it can go back to the science level and restructure it according to its law of self-similarity. There's only the law of self-similarity going on, only the law of infinite self-reflection on the level of science itself. But if light can't find light, it immediately comes through the law of the Christ and seeks out its own. And if it finds its like, it just reproduces itself infinitely, spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. But if it finds darkness, that light is going to analyze, uncover, and annihilate darkness so that the nature of us goes from the physical nature to the moral nature to the nature like God, the nature like the laws, which are are good and eternal and have all those qualities of the synonymous terms, when all the qualities in us are like the qualities of God, then that law stops seeking us and we stay in heaven. But the reason for the translation, as we'll see in more detail, from divine science to absolute Christian science and Christian science, because our nature and God's nature doesn't appear to be one. It appears that through ignorance we have this animal nature of jealousy, competition, hate, revenge, killing, duality, dualistic logic. We have to come out of that animal nature to a more moral nature, finally into a spiritual nature. When purified through the ascent, what looks like the ascending way, as we identify ourselves more and more with the divine nature through that, through the three great categories of being, we let the Christ identify us with those categories of being, then when our nature and God's nature are one, it's over. We stay in heaven. And that law of self-similarity can do what it always wants to do, is to like reproduce like. The law of self-reflection, the law of self-similarity goes on and on. But until man's nature and God's nature are one, the translation, retranslation will always go on. But, as Davy says, we don't have to inform the law that we have a horrible nature. We may fool some of the people some of the time, but not all of the people all the time about our awful nature. We can hide it. We can be the sheep in the wolf in sheep's clothing. We can be nice and sweet to each other. We can be friendly, and we can go home and yell and scream about how awful that person really is, and be inwardly very critical of them, and gossip about them, and how critical they are, we are of them. Then when we see them, we're nice to them again. We know how we are. Then we go home and then we gossip about them and say they aren't really that nice, etc., etc. We know that our nature still has a lot of purification to go through. All of us have that. That's why we're going through this process together. That's why she said revelators will take their place, but they won't be deified. None of us are perfect. We wouldn't be here. Therefore, it's not a religion where we deify anyone. We're all in it together. We're all in the bonds of Christ together, going through the purification process of the second translation, taken out of those animalistic qualities into the moral qualities, into the spiritual qualities. And as the Bible shows, not one of us are going to be relieved of going through that translation. Ye shall all know them, from the least of them to the greatest of them. We will all be purified so that our nature is like God's nature, and therefore we're no longer a mortal, we're no more longer a human, but we are the image and likeness of God. So that's now what we will see this afternoon when we take a look at now these laws in the light of Christian science. But I hope that I could instill in us, and I know it is in us, this love for the impact of the science, what we see on world consciousness, as it is a responsibility, again, just to keep reminding ourselves it's a universal science. We're in the 7,000 year period right now. We don't have to go there. We are there in that universal realm where they shall all know me, from the least of them and to the greatest of them. Everyone is under the revelation of God, where the whole universe says yes to God. Huh?